We're on the seventh day of creation, and technically speaking, it's not the seventh day of creation, because God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. But I want you to look at it in another way. A whole work week involves a weekend. I want you to think of it if there was no weekend. Everybody started on the first day of the week. They worked all the way through 7 days, and then they started another work week. No rest. And then they started another work week. No rest. And they started another work week. No rest. You know, that would be inhuman. But because God gave us the example of rest, that would also be ungodly. But look at it another way. Suppose there was a work week with no work, and you were just resting, and you rested the next day, and you rested the next day, and you rested the next day, and came back the next week, and then you rested that day, and you rested that day. It sounds like a vacation that never ends. But that is not human either, because we were created in God's image, and God worked for 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. So not having any work would also be ungodly. So I want you to look at it in a new way. A work week involves two things. It involves activity and then rest. A rhythm, of a cyclical rhythm of activity and rest. Activity and rest. Activity and rest. If you think about that, that seventh day, that Sabbath day, Sabbath means to rest, day of peace, then quiet, and rest and refreshment, Sabbath. God's Sabbath rest is always a prelude to more activity. Always a prelude to more activity. It's not an end in itself. It's a rest period before you start your work again. Now think of that. Think of that in terms of cycle. A rhythmic cycle goes again and again and again. Activity and rest. Activity and rest. And let me tell you, you understand that here at Eschaton, they try to keep you active during the week. You do have a time of rest, so that those who are keeping you active can rest too. But you have activities to do, and then you have rest. Well, we're going to look at God's Sabbath rest is always a prelude to more activity. If God has rested on the seventh day, what was his next work? Now, he had been creator, and he's still the creator, but he had been the creator during those, he had been working on creation. Then he rested. Now he was becoming something else. He was becoming our teacher. He wanted to teach us what to do in the next work week, which included us now. What was that work week? What was he instructing us to do? His role as a teacher, his role as an instructor, was to bring us through a training program. We were supposed to be trained for our ultimate goal as human beings. And I have preached on this before, where why were we created as a mixture between the two worlds, a mixture of cosmic dust and a mixture of spirit? It's so that we could be the mediators of the unification of the two worlds and reign over both. We started, though, in a little tiny garden, kindergarten, if you want to put it that way. We were just kids getting started. So God in his training program had a general curriculum. And what was that general curriculum? We see it in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And he put them in the garden to work it and to take care of it. Wow. That's a lot of things to do, isn't it? Well, the first of these was reproduction. Did you know that male and female is a sexual thing? And that God meant the two sexes to get together to do what? To produce life. And that's what sexual activity was given to man for. I know it is also pleasurable and it's very beautiful. But what's really beautiful in God's eyes is families, because God wanted us to reproduce. And so he gave us the equipment to reproduce. We have a lot of happiness in that commitment to a one flesh relationship where that happens. And that was God given. But God doesn't want us to get caught up in the beauty. and then go off on a tangent like our society has. They're all into sex and what sex can give us. But we're not into what God intended it for. It was to bring into life new life and to nurture that life so that it in turn could reproduce. There's the next thing. Why? Why? Because God wanted to expand. He wanted to expand humanity throughout the creation. Fill the earth. Fill the earth with His next command. God wanted us everywhere. Now the Tower of Babel came, and men had the idea, no, let's stick together. Have one language, one people, and let's stick together. What God had to do. God had to separate us. He gave us different languages so that we would not stick together. But and He wanted us to obey Him. I believe there only would have been one language, and we would have been one people if we had sticked with God's commands instead of getting sidetracked. But we didn't. So man had another idea of how to do it. And God said, no, you're not doing what I told you to do. And so He made us to expand out with these different languages. People couldn't get along with each other. They finally went different directions. Then there was appropriation of the earth. It says, subdue it. I mean, bring it under control. Bring the earth under control. It starts with our cosmic dust. But let me tell you something. Cosmic dust is everywhere in this universe, 10 billion miles away from here. 10 billion light years away from here. Is still more cosmic dust. Do you see why God wants us to expand? We have a big universe to fill. And people say, well, that's really far out, David. But they couldn't have done that kind of thing. You know what? We lived in the old days, in the early times, we lived 900 years. How long did it take when we first started making machines for us to get to the moon? Less than 100 years. Well, a little bit more than 100 years. But in those 100 years, we developed things from a cotton gin all the way to computerized technology that helps us go to the moon. In less than 100 years. Well, we have metal for that. You have to have real strong steel. When did metallurgy happen? In the fourth chapter of Genesis. Third generation from Adam. Adam was still alive when it happened. Isn't that amazing? Where could we have gone if we had not been in a disordered universe? We would have gone to the stars. And that's a big job God had for us to do, to fill the earth. Wherever there is cosmic dust, conquer it. That's amazing. Then He also gave us jurisdiction. That's another general thing. He gave us jurisdiction over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, and over every living creature. From the tiniest microbe to the biggest sea monster. From the littlest ant to the highest archangel. Archangel? Well, where does that come in? Remember, God had created us as sort of have an angelic spirit in a sense, a spiritual spirit, but we're made out of cosmic dust. And what did God want us to do? He wanted us to rule over everything. Well, will we be over angels? 1 Corinthians 6:8. Do you know that we will judge angels? How much more than the things of this life, the things of this earth, the things of this cosmic dust? How much more these things? Because someday we will be judging angels. Why will we do that? It's because with Christ, who is our human leader, resurrected, we will be judging angels. Wow! We're supposed to have that. We will finally complete this job with Christ. Then there were some specific assignments, and the specific assignments are in Genesis 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. To work it and to take care of it. The first thing is to work it. Cultivation. We are to take the things that God had made beautiful and we were to make them more beautiful. I don't know if you saw that documentary with Audrey Hepburn where she was showing the gardens of the world. They were so, so beautiful. She went to all these beautiful, famous gardens and she showed all the beauty. I tell you, they were stunning. But you know, you go out into nature and you say, oh, look at nature. The beautiful meadow and the wild flowers and the trees, and they're all in different spaces and size. You know, but God wants us to go into a garden, to go into that nature and to make it into a garden that is even more beautiful, because we've been made in the image of God, and we're not, God was not done when He said it, you know, He was done with creation and He rested on the seventh day. He wanted to help us make it more beautiful. but he had to be by our side to do it. What have we done? We have actually done some good stuff, but we have done it in a disordered way. You have to have God's prevenient grace. We still have God's grace. We still have God's grace to do these beautiful gardens. But as one guy said, he made this rose, a hybrid rose, and he said, it's so beautiful. And God spoke to him. He said, you've never seen a rose in my kingdom, and you've never seen it with new eyes. And, you know, it sort of made him humble. Really, we did some great things, but we haven't done it with God. A lot of times we've done it on our own. We didn't know that we were doing it by God's prevenient grace. He causes His grace to fall on the just and the unjust. We all are under that grace, and we all do great human things. Another thing with conservation, He said, take care of it. Now, that is a divine mandate. For years and years and years, I used to hear people from the pulpit say, oh, don't get into that green thing. That's liberal. That's left wing. That's scriptural. And sometimes the people who are not following Scripture got there before us. Why did they get there? Because they were human and they were functioning under prevenient grace. And we were Christians and we didn't even think of what the Word said. We could have had more grace if we did. Now I think some Christians are getting on board with that, and that's wonderful. Protecting the environment is God's commandment right in Genesis. Then categorization. Categorization is what God wanted us to do with creation. And we say, well, I knew what everything's name was. I want to read something that will help your theology get a straight view of God. God created us as free will creatures to do a work. And He was going to help us with that work, but He was going to let us do it. Listen to this verse in Genesis 2:19. God brought the animals to the man to see what he would name them. God was putting himself in a place of being informed by man. That's interesting. He was making a free will creature so God could learn. God could learn, yes. So God could learn what the names of the animals were in man's perspective. God wanted to hear that. He wanted to see what man would call them. Now, isn't that interesting? God had that knowledge way back in eternity past because He knows the past, present, and future. That knowledge was always with Him because He learned it at a specific time when He went to the garden to listen to Adam, name the animals. That's amazing. But let me tell you something. It didn't stop with the animals, and we know that. It went on to give the terminology that helps us understand mathematics and science and language and literature. It's all about definition of names. Did you know that? When I got into nursing, it's all about learning a new vocabulary. And then you can do nursing or medicine or any other field of discipline. It's all about names. Categorization is very, very important for taking over and appropriating the entire world and the universe. Well, all these things, reproduction, expansion, appropriation, jurisdiction, cultivation, conservation, and categorization, seven big jobs, were all supposed to be done in relationship to a personal instructor who was God. And we broke the relationship right at the beginning. In other words, we didn't graduate from school. In fact, we got stuck in kindergarten. But now, in that being stuck in kindergarten, we don't have the garden anymore. We're just kinders. And we're lost kinders. Lost children. Lost children that need God, and God knew that we didn't just need a teacher now. It wasn't just a teacher that we needed. Not just an instructor. We needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. And God was pointing us to a new Sabbath. You see, we never finished our work week. We got stuck in it. And God wanted to finish it. And so, we lived in this fallen world, a world that was disordered. It had been in a beautiful array. You know that word array? It says, when He created the world, thus the heavens and the earth were created and completed in all their vast array. That word array means host. It means a military regiment. It means they order. If you ever watch the military regiment march down the streets of a city, they're all marching in cadence. They're all marching in rhythm. They're all row after row. They're all in line. They're all in symmetry. It's beautiful. And God had creation that way, in an order. But when we sinned, it became disordered. Jesus stepped in to bring order back into it by bringing about a reconciliation by the cross, to put to death those things of the past and end it, and bring the work week to a close, to a new Sabbath, so he could start a fresh work week, a new heaven and a new earth. Jesus became one of us, and his message was rest, Sabbath rest. Here's what he said: "Come unto me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest," Sabbath. You will find Sabbath for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, in this disordered work week that we got stuck in, we work and it's troublesome. It's a burden. It's wearisome. And Jesus came saying, "I'm come to bring you Sabbath. I come to bring you a rest." And so when Jesus died on the cross, his message of rest for our failed work week was to bring his kingdom to us. When we accept Christ as King, his kingdom comes into our hearts. And his rest, his Sabbath rest, begins in our hearts. That's what we enter into. And Jesus said, you see, when we accept Christ, we are no longer of this work week in our hearts. He said, you are no longer of this world, as I am no longer of the world. What does he mean? We live in the world like everybody else. We have bodies, Adam's old body. We have it just like we did, like everybody else. But his new body is coming, the one that's just like Christ, the new Adam, for a new heaven and a new earth. And it's coming. We're going to put away this old one. It goes back to the dust. But a new body will be resurrected, a body like that of Christ, the new Adam, the one that starts the new fresh work week. And when did it begin? On Sunday morning, the first day of the week. Why do Christians celebrate the Sabbath, and they say a Christian Sabbath, on Sunday? It's not literally a Sabbath. The Saturday, the seventh day of the week, that is the Sabbath. Monday is the first day of the new work week, the new heaven and the new earth. And there's one member that has fulfilled it, and it is Jesus Christ. He has the new body. He has the new body that's going to be in the new work week of the new heaven and the new earth. So where does that leave us? Let me tell you where it leaves us. We can enter into his rest now. Right now, he has brought it to a close. Where it says in Hebrews, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Just as God finished his work, that work week that we were in, God brings it to a close. Let us therefore make every effort to enter into that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of disbelief. You have to do this by faith. You have to step into God's Sabbath rest in the cross of Christ, where he says what? It is done. It is finished. That's what he said from the cross. The whole work week is done. We have ended that work. But we started a new work in the resurrection of Christ. You know what it says about us? That when we have been baptized into Christ, we have been baptized into his death and resurrection. The kingdom starts here in our hearts. We can be living in that Sabbath rest, but what are we supposed to do? Out of that Sabbath rest that we have now that we've entered into, we enter into the new work week. Christians are people who need to realize that God's Sabbath rest is a prelude to more activity. every day that we live, and on Saturday as well as Sunday, we already have the Sabbath in our hearts every day of the week. But out of that Sabbath, we live a new work week that has not yet come. It has not yet fully come, but it's come in us. We are not of this world. We're supposed to live in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we're to show the world what the Sabbath rest is. So that Christians, when we're working and having activity, people should look at us and say, how do you do it? How are you active like this with such joy? You never seem to be weary. Why? Because I live out of my Sabbath rest, and I'm living a new work week. This world needs the rest that Jesus said, come unto me. And Christians who have entered into his rest, entered into that Sabbath that Jesus provided in the cross, are to live out that new work week before a world that needs his rest. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this message of your rest. And thank you for these many days of creation. Lord, we have seen so many things in the creation that helps us in our spiritual lives. And we pray, Father God, that we'll take these things right into Easter and realize that Easter is a celebration every Sunday of the first day of the week Jesus rose again, every single day of the year, so that we will be prepared every single day of the year to serve you throughout the week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.